The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, here we go. So formally hello and good afternoon, evening, whatever your time zone might be, everyone. So for our practice for today, I'd like to invite us to explore the difference between self-compassion and self-pity. Important distinction. So I'd like to say a couple of words about them before we start the practice. So what distinction between self-compassion and self-pity is that with self-pity, there is a sense of it's only me. I'm the only one. Poor me is having this problem, this pain, this sorrow, this grief. Poor me. And there's a sense of isolation. There's a sense of closing in. Into collapsing into our problem. And there's a sense of, there's the tenderness, but there is not so much both strength to support ourselves, but also there's a sense of isolation that I'm the only person in the world who's having this problem. Poor me. Energetically, it feels really weak, as if we're fallen into a bottomless pit. And there's no way to get out energetically. That's what it feels like, can feel like. Versus self-compassion can have a sense of tenderness and care and love for ourselves, meeting our challenge, our sorrow, our pain. And yet there is a sense of common humanity that I'm not alone in this, that there are others elsewhere in the world in this very moment, or there have been people in the past or will be in the future. This is a part of the human condition. And that's one distinction. And the other one is there is a sense of, as we've brought into many of our practice sessions, there's this sense of self-parenting, that there is a sense of strength, there's a sense of care. So there's a sense of strength that cares for ourselves. Sometimes in our practice, we've invited the image of the Buddha or the Kuan Yin or any other manifestations or archetypes of compassion as a source of strength, as a source of support. And many times we've actually brought a sense of strength from within, as if, for example, we've done practices where we've supported the younger version of ourselves with self-compassion, or a wiser version of us supports us. So there's this sense of support, strength. It's not the sense of collapsing into, oh, this is hard, this is hopeless, and it's only me. So those are a couple of distinctions to bring in. And if you ever find yourself falling into self-pity, near enemy of self-compassion, it's okay. It's okay. It's not a sin. Simply notice that, oh, it's become really isolated, this practice of self-compassion and care for myself feels really isolated, feels isolating and separate. And the vision has become really narrow. Simply notice that. Notice that with care and see if you can extend it to the feeling of common humanity, that I'm not the only one. So with that, let's practice self-compassion and with a sense of common humanity. So as always, let us begin. Let us begin by arriving in our chair, in our cushion. Landing, arriving with this breath and this body. And whatever is happening right now in the body, in the mind, know that you're not alone. I'm not alone in this. I bet there are other beings, other human beings, out of the 7 billion humans. I bet someone else is feeling this way right now, or has before, or will in the future. So, landing in this body. Letting the feet, the lower legs, be connected to the earth. All the sensations of groundedness, contact, as if your feet are sponges, soaking up the sensations. If you're sitting on the floor, the lower legs, the lower side of the legs, and the sit bones, all the areas that make connection, contact with the cushion, with the chair. These sponges, just relaxing, soaking in, soaking up the sensations, feeling more present, more grounded, relaxing, relaxing into, relaxing into. The sensations. Relaxing, releasing any tightness, holding the body, legs, abdomen, chest, shoulders, hands, face, jaw. And as thoughts arise, as they will inevitably do, as they inevitably do for all humans who meditate, you're not alone in this. Generously, kindly, smiling at the thought and saying thank you, but not now. Not now. Please come later. And releasing, taking refuge in the simplicity of the moments of just sitting and being breathed, one breath at a time. Giving your heart fully, completely over to this practice in this moment. Offering yourself up. Taking refuge. The simplicity of just being breathed. Making space. Calming, collecting the mind and heart. And if you like, bringing to mind, to heart, something that is somewhat challenging for you. In your life right now. Be something physical, something the space of the heart, emotions. Some circumstance, the thoughts that brings about, the situation brings about. And as if your inner Buddha, inner Kuan Yin, or whatever icon, paragon of care and compassion and strength was here present. They're sitting on your shoulder or you're on their lap, or maybe they've entered your body. Like, hello, let me show you how to hold this. Let me show you how to be present with this. So there's a sense of care, sense of compassion, love for yourself. Together with an uprightness, with courage, ka, the heart being strengthened in its care. See what image works best for you. Maybe putting it on the lap of the Buddha, this challenge. And feeling held in care, compassion with this difficulty. And also realizing that this challenge, pain, sorrow, difficulty, this dukkha, is shared, is a shared part of humanity, so many other beings. In fact, it's a mark of existence. Every being, every human. Experiences, friction, difficulty, suffering at some point. If not right now, in the past or in the future. You are not alone. I am not alone. And imagining this, your icon of compassion, holding you And all beings who share this form of challenge that you have, or some variation of it thereof. Suffering is not unique. May all of us, may all us beings, who have a similar challenge, difficulty in our lives, I wish all of us ease. May all of us have peace and ease with our challenge, in the midst of our challenge. And freedom, both from and in the midst of our suffering. I am not alone in this. I am not alone. Imagining yourself part of a community of beings, just as the icon of compassion holds you, all of you, with compassion and care, you hold each other in this circle, seeing others just like me, just like me, and others seeing you. Just like me, just like me. You seeing, sensing others, just like me. Dear friend, just like me, I wish you ease. I wish you freedom, peace, grace, in the midst of freedom from this sorrow, this challenge. And seeing yourself held with the eyes of care, compassion by others. I feeling challenged in the same way. As if you're looking in the mirror, you see the other, they see you. Community of others sitting in a circle, sitting in a circle. Receiving and giving compassion. May all of us be free. May all of us have ease. Dear friends, siblings, in this form of challenge, pain, difficulty, sorrow, feeling, noticing the sense of strength in the care and the love and the compassion that is shared. The sense of common humanity, shared humanity. Not disconnected, isolated, or alone. Love and care. Empowered love and care to meet suffering. Notice how in your heart you can offer support to others with your care, with your compassion. As well as receiving it. Maybe in your mind's eye, you see others going through a similar experience, reaching out for support. And your act of compassion is to support them. Maybe you've gone through this longer than they have. Act of care, compassion. Opening your heart, both to yourself and to others. Receiving compassion and support from others who have gone or going through something similar. For the last minute of this practice period, offering the goodness of our practice as a gift to ourselves and to others. May all beings everywhere be free. May they be happy. May they be well. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your practice. So, difference between self-pity and self-compassion. Quite rich, this exploration. So, a couple of differences that we explored. One is the sense of common humanity. I'm not alone. There are others with dukkha, with suffering in the world, perhaps in a similar way in the past, present, and future. So bringing them into the sphere of our experience, offering compassion, receiving compassion, and also through that, there's a sense of strength that comes through. And also at the beginning, we brought in this, an invitation to bring in our compassionate being, the Buddha, Kuan Yin, etc. So you are welcome to unmute yourself, to raise your Zoom hand, sorry. Reflections, comments, and anything you'd like to share, sharing part of your practice for the benefit of others, what you discovered. the appreciation on YouTube. Ah, you are welcome, Jane. That was beautiful, she says. Thank you. Thank you for your practice. So you can also type in chat. And as always, if you type anonymously, I will only read your comment, not your name. And if it's to everyone, I'll read the comment publicly. So what did you notice? What did you discover? Especially when you brought in other beings. Did it shift for you? Was there something that really clicked for you? Would you like to share and offer to others? An aha moment. Or maybe something that was challenging. It's all welcome. One reflection through chat, a particular pernicious aspect of suffering can be the notion and it will never change, permanent. Yeah. Yeah, everything is impermanent. Everything shifts and changes. Of course it shifts and changes. One thing that can support with that is looking back, is doing time travel with your younger self and remember a time when something was really challenging and hard and the younger self thought that, oh, this will never change, and realize, wow, it has changed. Of course it does. So trying to bring that sense of impermanence really into the consciousness that way. And then through induction, then looking forward that, yes, this too is impermanent. Of course it will change. Thank you for that reflection. Deborah says, I also had the awareness come to me during this meditation that some of the difficulties I'm facing are temporary. Nice. Along the same. Yeah. Along the same lines. Yeah. So, as I wait for you, other reflections, if you'd like to share, I'll say one more thing. Oh, I see Neil's hand is up. Neil, please.
So, you know, one thing I noticed is that, you know, my problems, you know, I seem much harsher in dealing with myself at the beginning of the meditation. You know, and thinking about all these other poor, unfortunate people, I'm like, hey, I'm everybody else's poor, unfortunate people, you know, and that just like really opened up the floodgates of self-compassion. Yeah, it was very nice.
Oh, that's so sweet, Neil. I love the way you bring that in. You say that, and with a sense of humor too, just the heart opening and the sense of humor and humility with that. Yes, there others are my poor and unfortunate people, and I'm the same for there. Oh my goodness, there's this, the heart melts. Oh, dear one, dear self, dear being. Lovely. Thanks for sharing that, Neil. Oh, lovely. One thing that I noticed is for me, the practice became especially powerful and ignited in a beautiful way when I gave the invitation of imagine you're sitting in a circle with others. So the sense of sitting in a circle with others going through something similar, just really powerful, as if I could look around and see others sitting with me. So and also seeing another person and them seeing me and seeing the mirror, just a sense of empowerment of, oh yes, let me support you. Oh, you can support me. Deborah, I see your hand, please.
Yeah, I think that when you're in the dukkha, it's so easy to lose the perspective. And so both of the things that we've just talked about are really perspective shifts.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah.
Exactly.
Because the nature of the suffering is just, I don't know, it's almost like putting a blanket over you. It's like, and you can't see the oh, the person across the street is also suffering there on the bench or whatever it is, when the blanket is covering your eyes.
Right, exactly. Well said. It's a perspective shift. And that's why we practice, because our common perspective is, oh, okay, suffering makes our vision narrow. It's just me and nobody else is having trouble and problems. Everybody's having a great life. No problems. It's just me.
Right. And oh, and what happened for me also is in meditation, I slow down enough to not be at the effect of it all and to just realize these things. Like you're not.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. Exactly. And the slowing down. Yes, the slowing down. Yeah, absolutely. Lovely. Thank you, Deborah. Claire, please. And this would be the last comment before we go into groups.
I just want to follow up on what Deborah said, because I have for years followed a practice of bringing to mind when I'm going through a difficult time. I have two relatives who had extraordinarily horrible things happen in their lives. And I've learned over time, to, whenever I get discouraged about what's going on, to think back to them. Both of them, by the way, have survived and thrived despite these circumstances. So my mind always turns to them. And I think to myself, if they can do it, you can do it too.
That's great.
You know, they're like my heroes.
Oh, that sounds great.
I mean, they don't know they've made this great gift to me, but they have.
So. That is beautiful, Claire. I am so moved that not only have they survived, but they have thrived, and they are your heroes, and they don't know they've given you this gift. I wonder, actually, which brings in a question for me, Claire. Have you ever considered reaching out to them and letting them know?
I haven't. In one case, I've considered writing a book about her, because she's so exceptional. Both stories are longer. I would tell them.
The other one,
I actually could reach out to, because he's closer to me. She's an in-law, turns removed.
Just wondering, not to put you on the spot. I realize I have, but just an invitation of, maybe they would really appreciate knowing this. But anyway, you can contemplate it. But thank you for bringing.
Oh, it's a great idea, actually. Thank you.
Thanks for bringing that in. Lovely, beautiful. So, dear Sangha, especially today, with the theme of this common humanity, let us turn into small groups together, and may you please stay if you can, because that's so rich to support and be with others in this way, in the small groups tonight, especially with this theme, with the theme of common humanity. We're not alone. We're not alone, and we have the sense that it's just us. So if you can stay, please do. And if you have to leave, it's no problem, understandable. So the rooms are created and they are now open. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other with compassion. Here you go. And the rooms are closed. Everybody's back. So we have just about a minute for any final reflections that have come up and you're burning to share them, please. And if you haven't spoken today for a while, we'd love to hear from you. For the benefit of all beings. Okay. Well, going once, going twice. All right. Well, thank you all. Thank you for practicing. Thank you for being part of Happy Hour, for the shared common humanity, cultivating our hearts to serve ourselves, each other, and the world. May you all be well, happy, safe, and free. Thanks, everyone. Be well.